What is up, everyone? Welcome to the first episode of the Half Street Hot Seat, where we test your Nationals knowledge and your baseball knowledge. I am Nick, and I am very excited to get this started. I have been working on this for an entire week since I thought of it in a Chicago airport, and here we are with our first episode. With me, and he's going to be my rules official slash part-time slash, I guess, full-time, but when he's not full-time participating, he is full-time rules official slash historian, Monty. You guys might know him as Montgomery Davis Taylor. I know him as Monty because we're close personal friends. Monty, how we doing?
I'm good. Excited to get this trivia going.
Yeah, and obviously they're logical choice for our league historian here. But speaking of logical choices, logical first matchup, they've been going at it for, well, Amanda corrected me earlier, over like 150 or so matches. Ryan and Amanda will be kicking us off, going head to head in this trivia matchup.
I'm
going to
get my ass whooped. I am not as good at trivia as Ryan, so we'll see.
Well, I mean, as I said earlier, he's been doing so for about 150 matches.
Yeah, that's only because you guys pretend that anytime either of you wins, that you both won somehow. This is so
BS. It's not pretending. There's documentation. I mean, I won't do Ryan speaking for him. Ryan, what's your mindset heading into today's matchup?
Look, you can't see my screen, but there's Z's above me right now. I am sleeping because Amanda is speaking right now. Look, there is no love lost right now. We're in the middle of a competition. It's go time. I just got back. You know, I went to Happy Hour, had some great sangria, some margaritas. Mm. Was great. I'm ready to rock.
So you're in the mindset.
Exactly. Wednesday used to be trivia night pre-COVID. So I'm pretty excited.
Wow. Your prep game is better than mine. I went to a Board of Zoning Appeals meeting this evening before we recorded. So,
well, that sounds, look at the Z's above my head.
Riveting stuff. Yeah.
Which is a good time to mention, eventually this will be on our YouTube page. It's 100% in the plans and something we want to do. That being said, I am not that tech savvy. Trey is much better at YouTube than I am, and we'll be working together. But we're going to iron out all the kinks first. This is going to be an audio only trivia game first. And then once we make it look good, once it's worthwhile to put on YouTube, it will be on YouTube. But for the time being, we are audio only. You know, this is an extension of Half Street High Heat, as you all know. So it will be our Thursday or, you know, second episode per week going forward. And, you know, we're going to have all different matchups. It'll be Ryan and Amanda sometimes. It'll be, you know, Monty. It'll be anyone else from the Half Street High Heat team going head to head. We're going to keep a score, keep records. And you know, eventually we'll do some sort of tournament. We'll see when the time comes. Right now we have 9 contestants because obviously I'll be hosting. So we'll figure it out when the time comes. So obviously there will be some sort of tournament, and Ryan's messing with his filters right now. But anyways, one thing I did forget to mention, to go back to kind of like, you know, podcast talk for a second. And one thing we do need to address, FP Santangelo not coming back to the booth next year. Obviously, you know, we all have our thoughts on FP, some more than others, mainly talking about myself. But what do you guys think of the move? What do you think the true reasoning was? And who's your early candidate to replace FP in the booth?
Well, my thoughts are this is not a surprise at all after everything that happened last year. I was surprised he came back. I thought they would take the opportunity to simply, you know, cut ties then. I imagine it was contractual. And since Masson was the one who actually had control over that, the Nats probably were forced to have him come back. But yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I don't know. It's going to be a big change because Bob and FP have been the voice of the Nats for a long time, but I think there's a lot of good options. I don't really have any bead on who I think they're going to replace him with at this point, but you know, I hope it's not Colco, and this isn't a slight at Colco. I like him. I just feel like he and Bob together are not broadcast magic.
No. I mean, everyone's, you know, they have their kind of like rose colored glasses on it and are very nostalgic when it comes to FP, but Bob and FP didn't really have that magic. They did early on. FP used to be like very, you know, kind of colorful, for, you know, a pun there, but now it just got very played out and it just wasn't enjoyable. And that's me trying to be as objective as possible. I despise FP Santangelo, so, you know, I'm jumping up and down. But yeah, Coco, because he filled in Bob's role a couple times, and you know, again, no slight to Coco, but that's not his role. He's no, fine, and I think
if they were starting with a whole fresh team, that maybe Coco would be somebody to consider. But I don't think with Bob, I don't think that it's a great choice. And they have announced, we should say, that Bob is coming back for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm. Bob is good. Bob was good with Maxwell, who, you know, yeah, probably someone who really we should talk grew about. On me.
Yeah.
But Bob having someone else next to him, kind of, it seemed like it kind of challenged Bob a little bit to find that new groove. Mm-hmm. And he was better with Maxwell. He wasn't, you know, great Bob, but he was good Bob.
It wasn't as formulaic. I feel like maybe the amount of time they had been broadcasting together had kind of, made it a little stale.
Which happens. I mean, the great booths around all sports are the great booths for a reason, because like they can keep doing it and not get too stale or jaded. You know, sometimes you just kind of need some fresh talent to spice things up a little bit. But Ryan, I know how you feel about FP. Do you have any favorites to get the job next to Bob?
No, I'm kind of with Amanda. I don't think it should be Coco. Like, Coco's fine. He was just so boring. Like, his home run calls were like, oh, wow, to the moon.
He was kind of trying to copy Bob in a way.
Yeah, it just didn't work. I like Justin Maxwell. I thought Maxwell was fine. He was definitely better with Bob. I kind of really liked the pair of them. I know that will depend on his schedule, because he's literally in dentist school, because, you know, being a professional athlete and a broadcaster, like, he needs something else to be really good at. So depend on that, but I really like him. They might
bring in anybody outside.
Masson, I doubt it.
Yeah, like if Bob left, 100%, I would definitely see them going outside. But I feel like since it was just FP, like, that's a pretty easy person to replace. Like, he wasn't very good at his job. So I feel like they might go former player. Like, I could really see him going former player.
Mike Morris was on a couple.
Hopefully times. Not. Yeah, hopefully not Mike Morris. Mike Morris, I know you're listening. I'm sorry, bud, but hopefully not Mike Morris.
But just look at like when the FP situation unfolded, they turned to Justin Maxwell. Like, was Justin Maxwell on anyone's radar?
No.
So that,
I mean, how many people have actually heard of him though?
Right. But that's my point. It's like,
yeah,
you know, that leads me to believe whoever they pick, if it's not Maxwell, is going to be, you know, someone cheap, basically. And that's no shot against Justin Maxwell. What about, but like,
Zim? I heard somebody suggest Zim. You think there's any chance of that?
So I think there is a chance of that, because I think that would be enticing to Zim. My problem with that is he is not going to be objective. Like, I love the commentators that aren't afraid to shit on the team. And it feels like Zim's going to be like, oh, I was just with these guys. I know, like, imagine when Corbin's on the mound giving up 8 runs in 3 innings. Like, that's going to be tough to sit through Zim kind of like defending him when he's just not effective that day. Like, Zim would bring great insight to the team, because obviously he was just there, but can he be objective? I'm not so sure. So I think if he was like 5-7 years removed from the team, maybe, but just because he was just there, and, you know, most of the guys that he won the World Series with are there, or at least some of them, like, it would be tough to kind of church and state that.
What do you think, Monty?
I'm just here for the trivia.
Monty's just waiting.
No, you guys all talked it out. It's good. Yeah, I agree with all you. You guys are smart people.
we should replace them.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Obviously, that's gonna be the only news coming out of Nats camp this offseason.
Well, there's the little mini brouhaha about Scott Boras's comments today.
Right, which obviously is timely.
Okay, hold on.
Boras did his yearly thing.
Me and Ryan were talking.
Ryan's on it. Ryan, what's your breakdown?
He looks aghast. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
It's Scott Boras does this every single year where he has a state of, I'm a pirate right now.
He's a pirate filter on. It's very difficult.
So like he does this state of the union every single year. He likes to talk in puns. He likes to make big words and everything. This and then they talked about, they talked about a Juan Soto contract extension. And he was like, you know, for him to like sign, he would have to know the team he's going to is like committed to winning. And like everyone started freaking out. That applies to every single player in the league.
Right. Nobody wants to go to a tanking team. And like,
by the way, no one signs with the Orioles for a reason.
$500 million. That's a pretty good indication that you're willing to spend money to win.
Exactly. That's literally
what he needs. Give him all the money and then he'll listen. That's
also, I brought this up with Ryan earlier. You know who really benefits from the Nationals going out and signing free agents?
Scott Boras.
Uh-huh. So
they're all his.
Yeah.
No, like that was like, everyone was like freaking out by it. Like no player wants to play for a team that's going to be perennial losers. That's why the Orioles can't get big free agents. That's why a lot of teams can't get big free agents. Like the teams that try, exactly. The teams that try are the ones who can sign the big free agents. That applies to everyone. This is nothing to freak out about. Juan Soto is going to be a free agent in 4 years. And guess what? We're still going to be talking about this in 3 more years because more likely than not, the Nats are going to suck for the next couple of years. Juan literally said he was sad they traded everyone away. Like it's clear Juan wants to win, but Juan's also loyal as hell. At the end of the day, it's about money. You put a big check in front of him, make it so he can't say no.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I mean, I know we had Matt Wyrick on. That was his bold prediction. But at least semi-realistically, do you think there's any talk of a Juan Soto extension? I mean, he might win the MVP. Do you think there's any talk or not any talk? I'm sure there will be talk, any like traction on an extension this offseason?
Here's how it'll go. Hey, Juan, how you doing, man? We'd love to have you pass free agency. Juan, yeah, same. And that'll be it. Like, I don't know. It's just like, they're so,
what do they always say? Kick the tires or whatever.
Yeah. They're just going to kick the tires on it, but like payroll's non-existent right now. So like, it could be a good time, but they're so far out from it. I just don't know how serious that traction.
I don't know. This is not based on anything concrete. Just, I feel like maybe the team is more committed to trying to retain him than they were with Bryce or with any other, with Rendon. That was, I think behind the scenes, there was more bad blood going on with Rendon than we were aware of at the time until after he left town and shit all over the team on his way out the door. I said a bad word. Anyway, I feel like there's maybe more traction. I don't know, but I honestly think if you put $500 million in front of that man, that's a hard thing to say no to. But the AAV, if that's a 15-year deal, makes good sense. So, you know, it's not a bad deal for the team and it's an eye-popping number that might be enough to get it done. It's just a question of whether the learners are willing to make that kind of a commitment. But if there's ever been a player that was worth making that kind of a commitment for, it's Juan Soto. So I hope that they make a serious attempt at an extension now, because you look at Trey Turner, where maybe if they had talked to him 3 years sooner and gotten it done, maybe the things turn out very differently. You know what I mean? There's a lot of players where they wait and wait and wait, and then they get more and more expensive as time goes by. So I hope that they try to get this done with Soto.
You would think, well, I was going to say, you would think they would, because he seems like the only one left. But as soon as, you know, that young guy has that breakout season, which could happen, they're going to be like,
a new object.
He's expendable. Is he really that good? I mean, they let one MVP go already. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
I guess we will.
But speaking of being committed to winning, you guys get ready. Are you ready for trivia?
Let's do it.
All right. So as Ryan changes his filter to the audience, he is on the big screen.
I don't know how the hell you do these filters. I like,
and he's gone. Oh, he's back.
All right. So the rules are pretty simple. They're going head to head. There's going to be 9 rounds. So 18 points total, because if someone gets a question wrong, the second person has a chance to steal. So there's 18 points total, 9 rounds, each round a different category. We're going to have 6 questions that are Nats related and 3 questions that are general MLB. And just for the record, I tried to keep these questions a little easier. A lot of them are recent years, and the general MLB doesn't get, you know, too obscure. again, we're testing this out as we go on, and I, you know, maybe there's a someone who goes like 8 for 9 consistently or something like that. I'll make the questions harder, increase the difficulty. But again, we're feeling this out. And plus, you know, we want to see scoring. We're not in the business of boring sports. We want to see scoring because scoring cures everything. Simple enough.
He's gone again.
Well, he's getting ready. He's gotten in the mode. You wouldn't understand.
He's getting his robe on and his gloves. He's getting taped up. He's ready to go.
All right. For the record, you have 31 seconds per question. 31. Yeah. It's in honor of Max Scherzer.
I dig it.
I'm trying to get my timer up, but apparently my iPad does not have a timer. So, you know, that's cool. All right. Found it. Cool. All right. You guys ready?
So how are we to signal if we know the answer? What's the?
Well, it's just your question.
It's just one person's. Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. You'll get the feel for it. All right. Oh, and then Ryan, ultimate gamesmanship, just getting in Amanda's head right now because he's getting in my head too with all the filters. Yeah, the show is destined for YouTube.
You should see the grin on his face right now too.
He's so pleased with himself right now.
Oh, and for the record, Amanda, you're going first tonight because I asked Ryan. Seeing as how he was the only one on the last episode, I asked Ryan if he wanted to go first or second. He opted to go second. So you'll be going first every round tonight.
Okay.
If you get it wrong, Ryan would have half the time to answer. So like
it's 15 and a half seconds.
Well, we'll say 15 just for the sake of, you know, keeping it even, but 15 seconds to answer the second one on a steal. Easy enough. All right, let's get started. Round one. Monty, if you do the honors. Jersey numbers. I did let this slip earlier to Ryan that this was going to be one of the categories. So I figured to make it as fair as possible would be the round one. All right, first question for Amanda. 2019 was the last year the Nats had a player wear number 15. Who was that player?
I got nothing. I have no idea who wore 15.
Nothing. Not even nothing. You don't even want to conjure a guess.
15. I don't know. I got nothing.
Nothing.
I don't know. That number is not ringing any bells for me.
All right. So you're passing.
I'm passing.
All right, Ryan. Same question to you. 2019 was the last year the Nats had a player wear number 15. Who was that player?
I think it was a Matt. I think it was a Matt. I can't remember if it was Matt Adams or Matt Grace. But I'm going to go with Big City Matt Adams.
Correct answer is Matt Adams. Oh, Monty is not even paying attention. Matt Adams.
You got it. Nice work. I did not remember Matt Adams' number. That's for damn sure.
Monty, are you going to keep score too?
Oh. Yeah, I was.
Okay. All right. Next question for Ryan.
Oh,
damn
no.
It, Monty.
I wasn't looking. What happened?
God. For those that did not, obviously, no one knows what just happened. I spent a good amount of time putting this PowerPoint together so that the contestants could read the questions and not just have to ask me to repeat it or anything like that. And, you know, because I'm talking and I have the buzzer and I have the timer, Monty was doing the PowerPoint. Monty just went ahead and skipped through all of them and gave Ryan the next answer. So I'll edit this part out as I look up another question.
Ask the question, coward.
All right, next question for Ryan. 2019 was the last year the Nats had a player wear number 58. Who was that player?
58, that was definitely a reliever. Feeling Matt Grace, but I don't want to commit to him. Doolittle changed his number. I'm going Matt Grace. I'm sticking to my Mats here.
All right. Matt Grace, final answer?
I don't know. Yeah, why not? Let's run it. I'm already beating Amanda, so who cares?
Incorrect. Amanda, to you, 15 seconds.
The number is 58. 58.
5 seconds.
no, I suck at uniform numbers. No.
Correct answer, not on the PowerPoint. Jeremy Hellickson.
Oh, yeah. I would not have gotten that.
Well, I mean, you weren't supposed to. I had Patrick Corbin lined up, but
that was my that was my third guess.
That was a good one with a little bit of a trick question.
I try. I do try my best. All right. Ryan with a 1-0 lead heading into round two. Next category is home runs. This question will be for Amanda.
All right.
Who led the Nationals in home runs in 2010?
2010. Adam Dunn? Adam Dunn, I guess, will be my guess.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Damn it! I hit the wrong button. This is not going as smoothly as I hoped.
Well, it's the first one. So, you know, hopefully the technical difficulties will improve.
All right. Well, that was incorrect.
Oh, dang. All right.
I guess I should have given the list of answers to Monty so that way he could see without having to go to the next screen. Ryan, do you have a guess?
In 2010?
2010.
I am 99% sure that was Adam Dunn, but apparently if that was wrong, I'm going Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman, final answer?
I mean, if Adam Dunn's wrong, then yeah.
Hit the right button this time. Oh, God. Ad popped up. Correct answer is Michael Morse.
Y'all didn't notice it, but I screwed it up again.
Yeah, Monty went to the next screen, and I was like,
Ryan didn't catch it.
Yeah, so we got lucky there.
I would have sworn it was Adam Dunn, but cool. All right.
All right, next question. This will be for Ryan, who led the Nats in home runs in 2011.
2011. That's a big year.
Right before it all started happening.
I don't know. Let's take a look. Let's take a look.
Take a look. You can't look up the team. What
do you mean?
What are you looking at, Ryan? You can't do that.
My brain?
You said take a look. You don't look at your brain.
I don't know. 2011. How much time do I have left?
5 seconds.
Screw it. Danny Espinosa.
That is, I can't use the buzzer because now it's behind a paywall. So there we go. That is incorrect. So Amanda, 15 seconds to you.
2011, Jason Worth.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. You guys should have stuck with it. The correct answer is Adam Dunn.
Really?
Adam Dunn. It was only 1 year later.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, got it. Was he still on the team? I thought 2010 was his last year.
You got him flipped.
Did I flip them?
Yep.
What?
Oh no. No. Did I actually flip them?
Yeah. Adam Dunn in 2010, Michael Morse in 2011.
No way. I spent so much time.
Was Adam Dunn still on the team in 2011? No. Or am I crazy? Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused. I was like, Michael Morse did not lead this team with home runs in 2010. And in 2011, I was like, well, I don't know.
Well, I think it's tied.
One moment, please.
Because Amanda said Adam Dunn, and that was correct. So there was no need for him to steal. And then he got 2011 wrong because he should have just gone with Michael Morse.
All right, 2010.
Yeah, but then I second-guessed myself because he said Michael Morse 2010. I was like, am I wrong? I was like, no.
God damn it. I did switch them up. There you go. That's why this is not a YouTube show yet, because even I'm messing up. It's not
quite ready for prime time.
It's not ready for prime time, but we will get there.
So, all right, what do you want to do?
Due to a clerical error, I guess. All right. So here's what we'll do. Amanda gets a point because she guessed Adam Dunn. I will give Ryan a new question because that's just, you know, I can't really go back to Michael Morse after I just gave Michael Morse as the correct answer. All right. So for the second round in a row, we have to do a new question. Here we go. I'll start the timer after I say the question. Who led the Nationals in home runs in 2012?
That was a good year. That was my year because that was my boy Bryce Harper, but he did not lead the team home runs then. It was Adam LaRoche.
Final answer.
I'm sticking to it, Adam LaRoche.
Correct answer is Adam LaRoche. So there we go. This is very anticlimactic without my buzzer. So I guess next time I'll have to, you know, pay for it. So that way I get to have my applause. All right. So heading into round three, Ryan has a 2-1 lead.
All right.
Round three will be wins. This question will be for Amanda. Time will start after I'm done reading the question. In 2015, who was second in wins with 13, only behind Max Scherzer?
Gio? I'm going to go Gio.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Ugh. Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
I hardly know her. Doug Fister. That's my final question.
Oh, God.
Final answer.
Forget about Doug Fister.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably Jordan Zimmerman, but I'm going Doug Fister.
Correct answer is Jordan Zimmerman. All right, so right back to you, Ryan.
I really wanted to be Doug Fister.
All right, in 2016, who was second in wins with 16, only behind Max Scherzer?
Always behind Max Scherzer.
No, this is for Ryan.
Well, it's not Max Scherzer. Nice try, Amanda. 2016. I'm going to Steven Strasburg.
Final answer.
Yes,
that is incorrect.
Shit.
Amanda, 15 seconds to you.
I can't think of it. I'm no good on timers.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't know.
That's time. Correct answer is Tanner Roark.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Was his one? I did too. One real big one good year.
Yeah, when he had the better ERA than Max. Max won the Cy Young.
Max
was third in ERA that year, third on the Nats in ERA, won the Cy Young.
Yeah, there you go. And we didn't do shit with that year. Thank you. No. Who would that have been? Was that Matt Williams' second year? Or no, that was Dusty.
That was Dusty's
first year.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Next category, round four, saves. This question will be for Amanda.
Okay.
Who led the Nationals in saves in 2010 with 26? Oh,
2010. Drew Storen?
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect, Ryan. 15 seconds to you.
2010?
Yeah.
Why do I feel
these are hard?
2010. That wasn't when Clifford was a closer yet. I'm going, was it Sean Burnett?
That is time. Oh. I will take Sean Burnett. That is incorrect. Correct answer is Matt Capps.
That was his
lone all-star appearance in, I'm pretty sure that season we traded him for Wilson Ramos.
Yes. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Damn.
2010 was a long time ago.
Well, I mean, I can't go any more recent than that because it's all Drew Storen, Rafael Soriano. This is a point of trivia, Amanda.
It's true.
Do some homework. Some board zone meeting does not count as homework.
Ugh, that's so boring.
Next question for Ryan. Who led the Nationals in saves in 2012 with 32?
Oh, 2012. That was when my boy Tyler Clippard was locking that shit. Excuse me, locking that stuff down.
We said we can curse now.
That's right. Yeah. Tyler Clippard was locking that bad boy down. 2012.
Final answer.
Tyler Clippard.
That is correct. Tyler Clippard, 32 saves that year. And it doesn't help that
a year.
It doesn't help that the first question Ryan says the answer that ends up being the answer for the second question. So no, we'll have to work that out too. So. Ryan, what, 3-1 lead, Monty? 3-1 lead heading into round five.
It's the most dangerous lead in trivia.
as I knock over my water bottle. Round five category, ERA. First question for Amanda, 31 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
In the 2019 playoff run, what pitcher had the highest ERA?
Highest ERA. We're starting talking starters?
All pitchers.
All pitchers. I'm going to say Anibal Sanchez because I know he was the highest in the starting rotation, and I cannot think of what the ERAs were. All right, Anibal Sanchez. Two. I don't think that's right.
Final answer? Incorrect. Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
Okay, so we're doing relievers as well, correct?
All pitchers.
I'll go Wander Suero.
Final answer?
Good one.
Wander Suero.
That is incorrect. Correct answer is steal of the deadline, Hunter Strickland.
Oh,
Hunter Strickland. He had two appearances, 18 ERA.
Eight. Fantastic.
But Ryan, it's okay. This question's for you. You still can get a point here. Next question. In the 2019 playoff run, what position player had the lowest batting average?
Entire run or like just one series?
Entire run. This is the entire 2019 playoff run.
Starter or how many, like, is there minimum ABs?
Position player, I'm trying not to give away too much here, but he had more than one, like he played in several games.
Several games. Okay.
Several at bats.
Trey had a terrible postseason, but I don't think it was Trey. I don't think it was Trey. I want to say like Brian Dozier or Matt Adams. I think Matt Adams went like, oh no, Matt Adams went like 1-for-3. Never mind, that would be him. Not sure. I'm going Brian Dozier.
Final answer. That is correct. Brian Dozier.
Zero average.
Zero average in eight games. That's six plate appearances. He went 0-for-6.
4-1 Ryan.
4-1 Ryan. Heading into round six. Round six will be fielding percentage. Percentage. Here we go. This question will be for Amanda. Time starts after I read it. What national had the lowest fielding percentage in 2021 with a minimum of 100 total chances?
2021.
This past year.
Lowest fielding percentage. Huh. Carter Kieboom.
Final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect. Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
I'm going to go with the guy who led the team in errors before he was traded, Trey Turner.
Final answer?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That is incorrect. The correct answer is Jordy Mercer.
Oh.
941 and 102 chances.
That makes more sense.
Next question for Ryan. What national had the highest fielding percentage in 2021 with a minimum of 100 total chances? So from lowest to highest, who had the highest fielding percentage?
I'll go Juan Soto.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. Amanda, 15 seconds to you.
Highest fielding percentage in 2021. I don't know. I got nothing.
I also think I got this one wrong. I was doing, you didn't give an answer, so there's no pressure, but.
Right.
I'm pretty sure now that I think about it, I got this one wrong.
Actually, he said highest?
Highest fielding percentage with a minimum of 100 total chances.
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess you take out second base because, like, Homie was just dead there at second base. No, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Catchers are usually high up there.
I 100% got this one wrong. That's my bad. There was actually two people tied, but since nobody gave any of the right answers, all right.
So what is the right answer?
I put Alex Avila, but Riley Adams and Victor Robles had over 100 chances and had a perfect fielding percentage. So I got bailed out by my own, mishap there.
I wouldn't have gotten that anyway.
So we're good. We're good. I will be better next time. Don't worry about this.
Still 4-1. Ryan, I believe, can clinch with a point.
So there are six total points left. Six total points left. Ryan is up by three. So Amanda, you still have life, but you're running out of time.
It's not looking good. Not looking good, boys.
As we move on to general MLB, round seven will be MLB All-Star appearances. This question will be for Amanda. Time will begin after I read the question. Nolan Arenado is the active leader for All-Star appearances for starting third baseman. Who is next highest?
Third baseman. Matt Chapman?
Final answer?
Yeah, I'm drawing. I can't think of anybody else, so I'll go with that.
That is incorrect. Ryan, 15 seconds to you.
Third baseman. Manny Machado.
Final answer?
Sure.
That is correct.
Shit. Dang.
Ryan.
Sorry, I keep saying a bad word.
We made a executive decision. You would know this if you didn't fall asleep and sleep on the job. We made an executive decision that we can be a little bit more casual and not so buttoned up on the show.
All right, fair enough. So I can just say
shit right now.
Oh, Monty, watch your profanity.
Wow. All right, next question for Ryan. Hopefully I didn't screw this one up on the PowerPoint. Craig Kimbrel leads active relievers in All-Star appearances with 8. Who is the next highest?
Chapman.
I thought you meant Matt Chapman. Can I get a full name, please?
That would be current Yankees reliever, Aroldis Chapman.
Final answer?
Sure.
That is correct. And what? That's a 6-1 lead?
That's a 6-1 lead.
So yeah, Ryan has clinched the victory in convincing fashion. There are still 4 points left on the board. You're going to want this for, you know, statistical purposes, points per game, you know, steal percentage, correct answer percentage. So just, you know, try your best. Next question.
I told you I'm not good at trivia.
Round 8 is World Series history. This question is for Amanda. If Monty would do it. Who was the 2012 World Series MVP?
2012 World Series MVP. I have no idea. I can't even remember who won the World Series in 2012.
Oh, that's kind of half the battle. That's why I give years and not winners.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea. Seriously, I cannot even bring to my mind who was in the World Series in 2012.
You know, at least the bright spot is you scored 1 point. You didn't get shut out.
You tried to not give it to me because you said I was wrong.
Well, that was my bad. I would have given it to you if you got it right. So incorrect for Amanda. Ryan, do you have any guesses?
Yeah, 2012. That was the Giants. And I keep wanting to say the reliever guy with the beard, but I don't think it was him. So I'm going to go Buster Posey.
Final answer?
Sure.
That was incorrect. It was Pablo Sandoval. Pablo
Sandoval.
Who just brought a World Series championship to the Braves.
Crucial piece.
Yeah, crucial piece. Next question. This one is for Ryan. Who's the 2010 World Series MVP?
2010. Was that... what's his name? Why am I blanking right now? Oh, my God. Why am I blanking? It was like... Oh, my God. I'm blanking on his name right now. Holy crap.
10 seconds.
Oh, my God. I'd probably be wrong anyways. David Freese.
Final answer. That is incorrect. Amanda, 15 seconds. Stat pad here. Garbage time TD.
Was this the Giants again in 2010?
I am not at liberty to disclose. 5 seconds.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was the Giants, but I don't know who the MVP was.
Well, if you had the World Series winner, you were correct. The World Series MVP was Edgar Renteria. Edgar Renteria. All right, heading into the final round, we are still at 5-1. Ryan has clinched the match. We are going to do one hit wonders, which
6-1.
6-1.
Oh, 6-1. Excuse me. One hit wonders might include Amanda being one and done on trivia.
It seems like that's going to be the case tonight.
First question of the final round is for Amanda. This AL pitcher won his sole Cy Young Award in 2016 on the back of a 22-4 record.
2016 Cy Young. Okay. I got a lot of nothing.
10 seconds.
2016 Cy Young. I.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Garrett Cole.
Never won one. I don't Ryan, 15 seconds.
This one really makes me mad. I'm pretty sure it was 16. I'm going Rick Porcello.
Final answer. That is correct. It was Rick Porcello. Remember, nice. Amanda, the category was one hit wonder. So you got to think of people.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Only one. I was just trying to think who was good in that. Yeah, you're right. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
For Ryan, final question of the match. This AL hitter won his sole MVP award in 2015 on the back of 41 home runs and a 939 OPS.
2015 MVP, AL. Oh my God. My brain's blanking right now. AL hitter, MVP 2015. Oh, no, that was before 2015. Dang, I am blanking right now. Oh my God. Why is this happening to me?
10 seconds.
It wasn't his only one, but I'll just say anyways. Dave Ortiz. Four.
Final answer.
Sure.
Incorrect.
Yep.
Amanda, 15 seconds to you.
I think I might actually have a guess on this one because I think 2015 and I immediately go Mike Trout, but obviously not a one hit wonder. Did Josh Donaldson win a random MVP?
5, 4.
Okay, Josh Donaldson.
Amanda,
I
got one.
It's final score 7-2.
I'll take it. It feels like a win to me.
There you go, a little stat padding at the end for Amanda coming.
Yeah, garbage
through.
Time.
That was her only steal of the match, by the way.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
It's not a good performance, but I'll take a little bit at the end there.
Ryan had 3 steals.
7-2 final. Well, overall thoughts on the match?
That's
fun. Ryan, as expected.
I mean, yeah. It was fun. There's a couple questions I'm mad I missed. There's a couple questions I was happy Amanda missed because I considered them kind of obvious. Like, no offense, Amanda, Manny Machado is like a shoe-in for
the All-Star game. I know, that was so simple. I just like I don't do well under the pressure. trying to remember on the fly is not my best thing.
No, it was fun. I like it. Trivia is always a good time. I always enjoy it. Yeah, that was good. It was high pressure. Nothing makes you like scare yourself more than your final answer because you're like, I don't know.
Stop pressuring me.
Monty, as an unbiased third party, thoughts on the match aside from both of our mishaps throughout the entire game?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun. It was great. I it's tough listening because I'm sitting there like, I know the answer. And yeah. I'm like, oh. Well,
so much so that you're just hitting next on the PowerPoint so you can see the answer. I got this. Maybe.
Yeah, you'll probably do better at it than I did. So maybe you get to be contestant in one of these Thursday episodes.
Eventually, we will add like lifelines and call them power-ups or whatever so you can call a friend. Ooh. Maybe I'm thinking this out loud. Well, we'll have to figure it out so Monty doesn't always have the answers. But maybe we'll do like an Ask Monty lifeline or like ask whoever the...
get a hint maybe.
The rules official is. Yeah, get a hint. Maybe double points, extended time. We're all workshopping it. But again, I got to be better. Next episode, I will be better. I'll make sure I don't have any typos or give Monty control of the keys or anything like that. I'll be better next time.
Or put the answer in the question.
Yeah, that too. You know, we're all human. But next episode will be next Thursday. We're doing Trivia Thursdays all throughout. Obviously, might take off a week here or there, but
it's good off-season content, though. I like it.
Absolutely. And plus, like, as we get our footing on both ends as contestants and, Monty and I putting this together, we'll get a little bit more tougher. Maybe we'll do some, tag team matches and whatnot, but I'm excited. I love trivia. Trivia is my favorite. Yeah. Next week, I don't know who the matchup's going to be, but guarantee it'll be good. You know what? I'm executive order. That's what I was looking for. Executive order. Winner moves on. Winner has to defend their crown, right?
Oh, I like it.
Ryan, sole possession of first place right now. I'll let you choose your opponent next week. Who you want? Call someone out. You're muted.
Right on the spot right now.
On the spot right now. Who do you want next week?
Oh man. Bring me Harvard.
Calling out Allison for her podcast debut. I mean, obviously we'll have to see if she accepts that. That's half the battle, but
I was going to say Monty, but like that's boring. So
yeah, you don't want to lose. So
I can't lose to Monty. I won't.
He wants more than a week to study for me.
Let me take this puppy dog face off real quick.
I think that's a bear.
I don't know. They're all the same.
But yeah. Okay. Ryan has called out Allison. So should she accept such a challenge, that will be next week's matchup. She went to Harvard. So we will see.
Let's see if she majored in baseball stats at Harvard. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right, but hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, we'll be better next week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Half Street High Heat. You can catch Ryan at We Are All Shaq. 1-0, We Are All Shaq. You can catch Amanda, 0-1, at AWhite7877. Thank you to our rules official, Monty. You can follow him on Twitter at Monty2740, right? I got those numbers right. 2740 and myself at Nationals Ace. We appreciate you listening. We will be back on Monday with our regular scheduled programming of Half Street High Heat. In the meantime, let's go trivia.
There's a new breeze blowing off the banks of the Potomac. A new team's mowing down the ranks of their opponents. The Nationals are smashing balls, so that the commentator who has the calls has passed the wall to see you later. Let's go Nats. We've got a game to play. We're gonna win today. Let's go Nats. We're gonna score for score. We're gonna win for sure. So call your local congressman. We need another monument. The Nats are rolling on the win. We're holding D.C. Let's go Nats. By the early light of dawn, well, you can see they're running scared, 'cause the kinds of bombs we're launching are bursting in the air. Tell the Library of Congress that they might not want to look, 'cause we're putting curly W's in every book.